Satan tries so hard to prove that God's not really real, while others say they know for sure his love you cannot feel. But I know he's real within my soul, for one day he cleansed and made me whole, and Jesus of this world have brought them peace of mind, but with the dawn of each new day, new thrills they try to find. Not until they meet the Prince of Peace can they ever hope to find relief, for Jesus
Jesus is still the answer. Would you say amen? Amen. Amen. He is and always will be. And thank you for that song. What a blessing that was. Revelation chapter number 2. Your Bible, if you would, please. The book of Revelation. That's the last book of your Bible. Book of Revelation, chapter number 2. I can remember as a boy growing up that my pastor, from time to time, he would get in the pulpit and he would say this: the reason so many churches today are like icebergs is because they've got a polar bear in the pulpit. And so I'll make a deal with you this morning. I'll do my best not to be a polar bear, and you do your best not to be an iceberg. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right, at least half of us are going to try our best. He also used to say that a lot of preachers today would make good martyrs. They're so dry, they'd burn well. But I'm not going to say that this morning. But anyway, I'll also try not to be dry, okay? I love coming to the house of God. And I hope that you do as well. And I trust the Lord is going to use the message in our hearts today. Revelation chapter number 2, I want us to look at two verses. verses 12 and 13. Revelation 2, verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth." This morning I want to preach on that phrase right there, Antipas, my faithful martyr. Let's bow for prayer, and let's ask the Lord's blessing on the message today. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can come together. Lord, I pray that our thoughts would be nowhere else. Lord, I pray that we would let it lay aside everything that might distract from your word. And Father, I pray today that we would focus on you. Lord, just for the next few minutes, arrest our attention. And Lord, I pray that we would give your word the proper hearing that it deserves. Tenderize our hearts this morning, we ask. Challenge us. Use the word in each life. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Study through the seven churches of Asia Minor, and you'll find that names are scarce in those churches. In fact, if you'll study through Ephesus and Pergamos, Smyrna, Philadelphia, Thyatira, Sardis, and Laodicea, if you'll check those very closely, you'll find that there are only two names that are mentioned in all seven of those churches. Now, that's not true with other churches in the New Testament. Study Romans chapter number 16, and the Apostle Paul mentions 26 different believers by name. He mentions people like Phoebe, the one who carried the mail. He mentions Aquila and Priscilla, that couple that cared for him and helped him in the ministry. He mentions Mary, who helped him a great deal. He mentions Urbane, who was his helper in Christ. He talks about Rufus, who was like a brother to him. So many more that I could mention this morning that the Apostle Paul draws attention to and calls them by name. But you won't find that when you come to the seven churches of Asia Minor. You'll only find two names given in those seven churches. One is a lady by the name of Jezebel. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest or allow that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." My friends, this woman was a poison peddler. This woman was a wolf in sheep's clothing, and she made it easy to sin. Now, my friends, anytime you're around somebody that makes it easy to sin, run. Get away from that person. I think you know what I'm talking about. Those people that you get around and you just kind of let your guard down a little bit. And it's just kind of easy to be what you ought not to be. You ought to run from those people. Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." I'm saying we should keep away from those that cause us to sin. I remember, and I've mentioned this before, when I was out visiting one day and I was just knocking on doors, and a man came to this door that I had knocked on. I introduced myself and he invited me in. We went in and we sat down at his dining room table, beer bottles all over the table. I began to sit there and I began to talk to him about the Lord. I asked him if he knew for sure that he was on his way to heaven. I said, "Sir, are you a Christian?" And he kind of leaned back in his chair and he went, "Oh, preacher, isn't everybody?" My friends, not everybody's a Christian. But you know, I thought about that. Is that not sort of the mentality of America today? That you can just live any old way you want to? Do whatever you want to do, live in filth and live in sin and still call yourself a Christian? So the first name mentioned about these seven churches is Jezebel, a woman who made it easy to sin. And I hope there's nobody like Jezebel here this morning. But then there's a second person that's mentioned in these seven churches of Asia Minor, and I'm happy to talk to you about him this morning. His name is Antipas. Bible says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. That phrase, Antipas, my faithful martyr. Now, I want you to notice, and you might think that this is trivial, but it's not. The Bible does not say my faithful preacher. And I thank God for faithful preachers. There have been preachers down through the years that have been faithful to preach the Word of God that have helped me a great deal. But the Bible does not say my faithful preacher. Then again, the Bible does not say my faithful teacher. And again, I thank God for faithful teachers. So many, as a boy growing up, my Sunday school teachers, my school teachers, so many that impacted my life and helped mold me. The Bible does not say my faithful teacher. Then again, the Bible does not say my faithful soul winner. It does not say my faithful prayer warrior. And thank God for every soul winner, and thank God for every prayer warrior. We need a whole lot more. But that's not what the Bible says. You see, my friends, it goes deeper than preaching. And it goes deeper than teaching. It goes deeper than soul winning. It goes deeper than being a prayer warrior. The Bible says Antipas was his faithful martyr. Now, here was a man in the Word of God that lived and he loved the Lord Jesus Christ so much that he was willing to die for the Son of God. I think we ought to examine our hearts this morning. And I think we ought to see if we have a little bit of Antipas in us. I think we could all use a little bit of him. We talk about dedication. We talk about consecration. We talk about devotion. But if we really considered Antipas like we ought to, how many of us would even come close to him? I know this. God Almighty respected him enough to record his name in the inspired Word of God and tell the whole world that Antipas was his faithful martyr. Now, I want to share some things with you about this man, Antipas, this morning, and I really pray that these things will speak to our hearts. Number one, I want to point out to you that Antipas was a converted man. He was a converted man. The word convert is found 10 times in the New Testament, and in every case, it means the exact same thing. It means a turning. It means a turning about. It means to do an about face. Anytime you find that word converted, it implies a change. It implies a transformation. Our Lord Jesus used the word converted four times. I just want to share two of them with you this morning. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, he said, Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want you to notice that word become. There has to be a transformation. There has to be a change in your soul that makes you different. Then again, Luke chapter 22, verse 32. Jesus said, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now, you study this chapter, Jesus is talking to Peter. And he says to Peter, "When thou art converted." Wait a minute. Peter? Wasn't Peter already saved? Yes. But Peter had some terrible things in his life. And Jesus said, "Hey, Peter, when you're ready to turn around, and when you're ready to get things right in your life, then you'll be able to strengthen your brethren. Then you'll be able to be the leader that I want you to be." You see, I know a whole lot of folks that say, "I know Jesus. He's my Savior," but oh, they sure need to turn around. There's a whole lot of folks that need to be converted. And I'm not just talking about salvation. We need for sinners to be converted to Jesus Christ and to be saved. But I'm also talking about God's people. I'm talking about Christians that need to be converted. They need to be converted in their thinking. I mean, so many Christians today that their thinking is so opposite the Word of God, it's not even funny. Christians that need to be converted in their lifestyle, living opposite the Word of God. Christians that need to be converted in their philosophy. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." I'm saying to you this morning, we need some Christians that'll turn around and start following Jesus Christ in their life. Now, let me ask you a question. I want you to think about it. As we consider this man Antipas, do you think anybody that knew him, anybody that was around Antipas, do you think that anybody doubted his salvation? Do you think that anybody would say, "Well, you know, Antipas, I don't know. I don't think he was saved." Do you think maybe somebody said, "Well, you know, there's just some question marks in Antipas' life. There's just some things that don't add up." You think anybody would say that? Do you think anybody would have any doubt in their mind as to whether or not Antipas was a committed, Bible-believing Christian? I don't think so. I don't think that God would put a man in his word and call him my faithful martyr if there was some question marks in his life. But I'm afraid we have come to the place in Christianity today, listen to me, where we have so watered down the Word of God and we've so diluted what the Christian life is all about that we are producing Christians that don't know how to get out of the rain spiritually. What do you think Matthew 7 verse 16 means? Jesus said, "Ye shall know them by their fruit." Look, we can dance around that verse. We can play Ring Around the Rosies with that verse. But Jesus said you can know a believer by his works. Just like you know an apple tree by its apples and an orange tree by its oranges and a pear tree by its pears. You can know a believer by his works. Why do we take these verses and try to explain them away? Let me give you another one. It's very plain. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." What does that mean to be a new creature? Or a new creation? Does that not imply some kind of change? Does it not imply some differences? Does this verse not say, "Hey, there's something different about him. something different about her. They're not like they used to be. Preacher, you mean I got to be a martyr to prove that I'm saved? I didn't say that. But I'll tell you one thing, the criteria for following Jesus Christ is change. Old things are passed away. You know, we sing the song, we teach it to our children. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. Things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. All things are become new. I'm living a clean, holy life. I'm telling others about Jesus. I'm looking for ways to serve God. I'm taking my turn in the nursery. I'm singing in the choir. I'm helping in the children's programs. I'm teaching a Sunday school class. I'm bringing folks to church. I'm helping my brothers and sisters in Christ. Folks, Christianity is defined by cost. But I'm afraid Christians today want to define it as convenience. Oh, don't interrupt my schedule. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to make my own rules. Follow my own agenda. Not Antipas. He was a converted man. A changed man. The whole world knew what he was. Number two, not only was he a converted man, he was also a church man.
Yeah. Amen.
Ooh. He was also a church man. History tells us that the city of Pergamos was a wicked city, but it was also a very cultured city. You know, some folks confuse culture and morality. Some folks think that if a man puts on a suit and if he has a position of prominence, then there must be something good about him. Don't you believe it? Pergamos had the first medical school in all in history that we know about. Pergamos had the largest library of its day. Pergamos was the envy of the world in the matter of using parchment as the first writing paper. And I could go on and on this morning, but the point I'm making is this. It was also the dirtiest city of its day. And I'm afraid that America is producing some of the dirtiest big shots in the world. And just because somebody lives in a great big house doesn't mean that it's pure and clean on the inside. Now, I've said that Antipas was a church man. Listen, it took courage to build a local church in Pergamos. Let me ask you something. Don't answer out loud. I want you to answer in your heart. If you knew that by coming to church today, you could be arrested, would you still have come? Would you? I want you to look at verse 13. He says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest. God was saying, hey, I know where your local church is there in Pergamos. I know its address. I know its pastor. I know your ministry. I know the songs that are sung. I know who's in the choir. I know who's involved. I know everything about it. I know that there is a good local church in Pergamos. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think that maybe Antipas was on his way to church when somebody killed him? Do you know how Antipas died? Now, this is tradition, but it's pretty well documented. One day, somebody grabbed Antipas and said, you're going to call our emperor Lord. By the way, Pergamos was the center of emperor worship. And somebody said, you're going to bow down and you're going to worship the emperor. maybe even when he was on his way to church. I don't know. When he would not bow down to the emperor, they took a brass pot in the shape of a bull. They put Antipas inside the pot and they roasted him. Folks, it cost something to go to church back in those days. But you know, you don't have to beg Christians like Antipas to come to church. You don't have to beg Christians like Antipas to take a position in the church and work for the Lord. You don't have to beg a Christian like Antipas to pray and to read their Bible and love their pastor and love their brothers and sisters in Christ. You don't have to beg a Christian like Antipas to tell others about Jesus Christ. See, an Antipas spirit and an Antipas heart settles a whole lot of things. Now, you hear me say all the time, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Folks, it wasn't the manner of Antipas to forsake coming to the house of God. What am I saying? I'm saying it's bad manners to forsake coming to the house of God. You know, think about this. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm trying to help us this morning. If all it cost us as Christians in America is to come to church 3 times a week, when we stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, what if we have to stand next to Antipas? What if we have to stand next to Stephen or Paul or Peter? What in the world would we have to talk about? Antipas was a church man. Let's go on. Antipas was a converted man. He was a church man. Number three, he was a convictions man. He was a convictions man. One of the most arresting thoughts in the Bible is a statement that is made about the church at Pergamos. Look at verse 13. He says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Now, do we take that literally or do we take it figuratively? Is Jesus saying that Pergamos at that time was the base of Satan's operation? Now, this is only my opinion, but I do believe that Satan moves from city to city, and he makes certain cities the center of his operations. I believe we've got one called Hollywood. Come on now. I believe he's got a base of operations in San Francisco. I think he's got one in Washington, D.C. New York City, Miami, Florida, New Orleans, Las Vegas. Folks, don't think for 1 minute that Satan is down in hell, sweating and shoveling coal. Bible says he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I believe he had set up operations in Pergamos. Bible says right after, even where Satan's seat is. The Bible says, and thou, church, talking to that local New Testament church in Pergamos, and thou, church, holdest fast my name, and has not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr. In other words, after all this wickedness that is going on in Pergamos, right in the midst of where it is hard to live as a Christian, I had a faithful church and I had a faithful martyr. You know, I hear people say all the time, oh, this world's getting harder and harder to live in. Oh, it ain't ever been this bad. Better do some reading up on it. Yeah. Yeah. This has always been a wicked world. Yeah. It has always been bad from the Garden of Eden on. And a Christian won't live successfully in a wicked world without some convictions. I love what he said, hold fast my name, has not denied my faith. One commentary that I read said this about Antipas. He said, Antipas was no son of compromise. Ooh, I like that. God, give us a church full of Christians who will not compromise. Luke chapter 6, verse 26, the Bible says, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. You know, sinners don't speak well of somebody with convictions. They don't speak well of somebody that'll take a stand. Listen, the world hated Stephen. The world hated John the Baptist. They hated Peter and Paul and the other disciples. They hated Antipas. They hated Jesus. And they'll hate you and me too. God called Antipas my faithful martyr. Don't you know that a Stephen and a Paul and a Peter and an Antipas, Christians like that, don't you know when they stand before their Savior at the judgment seat, they're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Let me tell you something, I would rather have that than to have the title Man of the Year. And that leads me to my last point. Antipas was a converted man. He was a church man. He was a convictions man. Number four, he was also a commemorated man. He was a commemorated man. Notice again verse 13. Look at the my's in this verse. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and has not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. Jesus said, my faithful martyr. How do you think Jesus said that? Do you think that Jesus said that like a dad sitting at a football game when his boy just scored a touchdown? Hey! All right, that's my faithful martyr. Do you think maybe he said it like a mama sitting at a graduation service watching her daughter graduate with honors? I can't even do it. That's my faithful martyr. No, I don't think so. I think maybe Jesus stood up like he did for Stephen. And I believe he said, that's my faithful martyr. Praise the Lord. I think you can sense some intimacy here. I think you can sense some emotion. This is no little matter. I wrote this down in my notes. I hope nobody misunderstands this. But I put down, is it possible for deity to brag? I believe this is deity showing divine respect and divine pride for a mere mortal. Bible tells us over in Hebrews chapter 11 of the heroes of the faith that God was not ashamed to be called their God. And God was not ashamed to recognize Antipas as his faithful martyr. You say, now preacher, if God was so close to Antipas, you know, he could have saved him. Yeah? Yeah, he could have. But then we wouldn't have the benefit of seeing a committed Christian that rose above the mediocrity and rose above so-called religion and showed us relationship. I think God knew that we needed Antipas. You know, when Mary of Bethany anointed the head of Jesus with the oil that was in that alabaster box, you know, she was criticized for it. But Jesus said that her act would be remembered through all generations. I don't know why, but I haven't heard a whole lot of sermons on Antipas. But don't you think a man like that deserves our remembrance? God preserved his name for all eternity in his word. And I think we need some Christians today like Antipas. Some Christians who are converted, changed. Old things are passed away. Some Christians who are church people. They love the house of God and they're faithful to it. Some Christians with some conviction. They don't care what the world thinks. They're going to take their stand for Jesus Christ. We need some Christians that when they stand before their Savior, they'll hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.